Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Verhoeven, and I was a cop back in Sydney in the 80s.
And I'm Paul Verhoeven, John's son. I'm an author, and I wrote two books about Dad's time as a cop.
The first five seasons of Loose Units spanned my time in general duties, forensics, my time as a firefighter, and even my stint running a funeral home.
But this season, we're visiting the locations of Australia's most notorious, baffling, horrific crimes, and looking at what happened there.
From Snowtown to the family, from the Morehouse murders to haunted highways, this season of Loose Units is your go-to guide to the worst crimes in Australian true crime history.
Welcome to Loose Units, The Shadow Files. Hello and welcome to Loose Units, The Shadow Files. This week, for a bit of a change, Dad and I are actually in the same room. We are sitting across from each other for once. This is a very, very dark story that we are continuing our exploration of. The ongoing case of Melissa Caddick. It's a really odd one. Dad was the one who actually flagged this story with me a couple of weeks back, and so we have to deal with it. The way in which you pitched this story, though, was specifically around kind of the same way that the cops were alerted to her potential death. So at the end of last episode, Dad, as you recall, she went missing.
Mm.
Yes. Now, I don't know how else to broach this topic. I'm not laughing because it's funny. I'm laughing because it's bizarre. But what did they find?
Well, they found a foot.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how you pitched this story at me.
You correct. Said, and you were sort of a little bit nonplussed, I thought.
Not nonplussed. I just didn't know how to deal with that fact because so she went missing. She was 49 when she went missing. She went without her mobile phone. She didn't take a wallet or keys. This is back November the 12th in 2020.
Yeah.
And then they found her foot on the beach about 400 kilometres from where she was seen. And I found it about 3 months after she went missing.
Yeah, actually 550 kilometres.
Jesus, really?
Yeah.
So, but this is 3 months later.
Yeah.
Now, what kind of... there's so much to unpack here. First of all, when you find a foot, is the assumption that the person is dead?
I don't think many people find feet.
Okay.
I mean, you've got chicken's feet.
That's fair.
At Yum Cha. Which I'll tell you what, here's a handy hint. Don't eat one of the chicken feet.
Why?
Take it home, dry it out,
yep.
Attach it to a chopstick, and you've got a back scratcher. So that's something you can do.
But what are you talking about? So the thing is, Dad, if you
it's important to introduce some brevity because it's a pretty fucked up shit shoot we're heading down, and we're dealing with some. It's weird sitting opposite you, Paul.
Yeah, well, I'm not really sitting. I'm kind of perching because there's only one chair in your minimalist apartment. I'm sitting. I'm kind of hunched at a right degree angle. It's very odd. What I will say, Dad, is, okay, if you find a foot washed up on a beach, is your assumption, if you're law enforcement, that the person that foot was attached to is dead?
Look, I think in Australia, because of our beach culture... You find that funny?
No, I find it funny the idea that like being a beach-oriented culture would...
Haven't finished my hypothesis.
Okay, go on.
Of which I've got numerous. What I will say is that if you find a foot...
Yep.
Or a few feet on a beach, you're going to think sharks. And a few months ago, a school teacher...
Mm-hmm.
Did you see that footage?
No.
It was... terribly distressing, where a guy was just swimming, ocean swimming, and there were people fishing, And they all had their mobile phones, as everyone does, and they filmed the guy. I think we touched on it.
No, we didn't.
Oh, cool. So they filmed this poor English school teacher being taken by a monster great white within meters of the shore.
Wait, this was on social media?
Yes, I saw the uncut, unsolicited. No. It was so messed up. Then the shark came back to finish him. He was fucked already. Because look.
How did I not hear about this?
It was on all the... It was probably on... I would go so far as to say it was probably mentioned in Amalakalate in northern Saskatchewan.
That's very specific. The point being, sharks really go to town on people.
They go to town. But they go hard, they go fast.
But they wouldn't eat the foot.
No. But look, there have been... this is such a fascinating case. It's bizarre. And at the end of the day, there are two camps. One group of people, and I must admit I was in this camp in the beginning, was I was convinced that somewhere in Australia or maybe overseas, there would be a woman walking around with a rubber foot.
So look for that woman and you've got the kill.
I'm serious, Paul.
Hang on. Okay, so
look. I think I originally thought, and it's not... Look, remember with these fascinating cases, we may never know the facts.
But the facts confuse me here because you can... Okay, as somebody who is in forensics, if you find a hand, you can then fingerprint that hand. If you find, you know, dental records, you can ID them that way. But if someone's foot washes up, how do you tell that that's the foot of the person you're looking for?
DNA.
DNA.
And she... You know, there would have been various missing people. The... Look... Okay, look, there are so many fascinating parts to this story. And bear with me, listeners. I think Paul and I are going to go all over the shop today.
Yeah.
Even though we're not in a shop.
No.
But, you know, I swim, as everyone knows. I do a lot of ocean swimming. Okay. I've actually done the swim from Bondi to Watson's Bay.
And you saw someone swimming with you who swam so hard that their foot came off.
I saw someone that was swimming in circles. Because one foot was shorter than the other.
Yeah, yeah. It's like when you row with one oar. It just doesn't work.
Correct.
Sorry, everyone.
Okay, so this morning what I did, I drove up to Dover Heights and I went up to Melissa's street.
This would be the one that is 550 kilometres from where the foot was found.
Correct.
So there's a cliff near where she lives.
Oh, it's all cliffs.
So if she's being... Okay, here's one theory based on only the facts that you've presented me with now. A woman, as you found out last week, and as listeners, as readers and listeners of the show will know, she spends years ripping people off.
Mm.
She's being investigated by ASIC.
Correct.
And then she just bolts from her house, not taking anything with her, and she lives near a cliff. It is logical. The most logical possibility here is that she went, I'm done. I can't deal with this. I can't face up to the truth of what's happened here. I'm just going to throw myself off the cliff.
Mm.
And then she does, and then her body undergoes various traumas, and somehow... The currents carry part of her body, as you mentioned, possibly attacked by a shark, and then the foot washes up on the beach. 3 months later, I'm assuming it's not in a very usable state by that point.
I actually have been giving this a lot of thought.
Okay.
And I don't believe a shark was involved.
Oh.
Okay. Would you like me to expand on that?
My brain went to she was captured and tortured for... I don't know, maybe she ripped off the wrong person, but what do you think happened?
That's an interesting hypothesis. In fact, imagine that, listeners. Imagine that she's still alive. She's in some sort of...
Bunker or something.
Yeah, some cage. And they've removed a foot, hopefully with anaesthetic, and they've just tossed it into the ocean. Now, weirdly, there are lots of weird things about this story, but several months prior to the foot being found, forensic pathologists had been experimenting with feet floating in the ocean. And they did some experiments. They didn't use feet, of course, because it would be difficult to get volunteers unless they went to a rubber foot shop and got some prosthetic feet.
That's not really a volunteer. That's just buying some rubber feet.
True, but good point.
So what they wanted to do was... First of all, what was the test trying to
establish? The test was trying to figure out how far a foot or body part travels in the currents off the east coast of Australia. And this experiment was going on with no knowledge, no prior knowledge of Melissa Caddick.
Wasn't that one of those questions they'd ask you in maths? So one foot is travelling through the ocean at 3 hours. You know that two trains question?
Yeah.
Sorry. So, right. So they don't know about the case. They're not trying to figure out where her foot is because the foot hasn't been found yet.
Correct.
They just happened to be doing
They were doing an experiment and they launched these feet. They actually weren't feet. They were these sort of floating devices that simulated body parts. They wanted to find out how far it was possible. So they've already proven beyond a reasonable doubt that it is not implausible for the foot to float 550 kilometres.
Well, what were they using instead of rubber feet?
These,
Do you know?
They were using these little sort of balloon things.
Hang on.
Paul, don't get bogged down in micro-technicalities.
No, because the micro-technicalities, as you put them, that's how you sold me the story. You said, hey, they're doing this thing.
Well, yes. Another thing they did, you know how they talk about lipstick on a pig? Have you heard that expression?
No.
Okay, cool. So some of the detectives involved in this case also...
You're not going to tell me the expression? You're just going to breeze
past it? I'm not totally familiar with it, but okay. The thing is, the detectives came up with quite an interesting theory. They wanted to put
lipstick on a pig.
Joggers on a pig and throw the pigs.
Was this like a dare they lost, like a bet or something?
Well, they never got to do it because, interestingly, a couple of the detectives became so sort of obsessed with this case, ultimately they were taken off the case by their superior officer because the officer thought that they were actually losing the plot.
Okay, so the expression is to put lipstick on a pig, it means making superficial or cosmetic changes to a product in a futile attempt to disguise its fundamental failings.
Mm-hmm.
But what they were doing in this case was, I mean, is there some sort of similarity?
Well, pigs are very similar to people.
Yeah, but their feet aren't.
No, true. They've got little trotters.
Yeah. And now, if a person had tiny trotter-shaped feet, the experiment would make sense. But what you're saying is they were putting shoes on pigs.
They wanted to do it. I don't think they actually got to... What one or two detectives wanted to do, and I'd like to meet these people and see how their minds work, they wanted to put...
I think we know how their minds
running work. Shoes on the pigs. I'm just wondering whether the pigs were alive and they'd sort of put a huge carrot off the cliff.
That's what you'd lure a pig with.
and get them to lunge out towards the carrot and then fall.
Right. So what you do is you have a sort of drop sheet with a very sexy pig of the opposite or same sex. And then you put lipstick on the pig. You put some runners on so it can really get a good run off.
Yep.
And then at the last minute, you pull the sheet away and they go... And
that's
they
it.
Fall into the ocean.
Yep.
And voila, Melissa Caddick.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure people are going to...
No, you... Okay, so here's the problem, listeners. Dad called me and said, they've been throwing pigs into the ocean with shoes on.
I think I did say, in fairness, that that was a theory that they had proposed, but it never went... Look, people would have been traumatised, obviously, right. Particularly... I don't want to sort of, you know, use sort of stratum in society in terms of saying that particular suburb, the people would be more offended than another suburb, but...
Are you saying that people who don't eat pork would be offended
by... No, nothing to do with the pork. It's I don't want to go down the socioeconomic thing, but it's a very affluent suburb. And I think people, because there are parks up there above the cliffs, and I think, can you imagine a family taking their children, you know, for a walk, kids in prams, all of a sudden seeing pigs being thrown off cliffs wearing runners?
What was the actual goal of this stupid experiment?
To see
how far feet would drift.
Correct.
If they were, but they weren't detaching the feet from the pigs.
No, well, initially the pig is whole.
Yeah.
With I'm not sure whether it would have had two or four runners.
Hang on. No, sorry. Dad, if you're throwing pig's feet into the ocean to see how far they float...
The pigs are connected, Paul. The feet are connected.
That's what I'm saying. If the experiment is, in fact, to see how far the feet would float, which is what you implied, then you would kill the pig and then put the trotter in the shoe. You wouldn't put the pig in shoes and then kill the pig and then cut the feet off the pig. Do you understand what I'm
Paul.
Saying? Do you understand
Paul,
what I'm saying? You've must
I understand
this.
Everything.
If I Google pig shoe experiment, God, my Google search history is fucking garbage at this point. Pig shoe experiment. This is why we don't do shows in person anymore. Pig shoe experiment. There's literally nothing coming up on the news.
No.
There's nothing. Where did you hear this? Where did you hear this?
Paul.
Don't say it doesn't matter because it does matter.
No, it does, and that is a fact that some people will concur.
The reason we're talking about Melissa Caddick is because Dad said you wouldn't believe what they're doing. They're figuring out how far feet can float through the currents using pigs' feet. And they're putting the pigs in shoes and throwing them off cliffs. And I said, that's weird. And you said, no, it makes sense because Melissa Caddick's foot was found.
Mm. Paul, do you recall who was investigating Melissa Caddick?
No.
ASIC.
ASIC. Sorry. Yes. ASIC were investigating her.
And I'm about to put forward something I feel...
The pigs were wearing ASICs.
No, the shoe that she found, they found her foot in, it was an ASIC shoe. And I think that's...
You think she went through her wardrobe and went, this will show them, and put on a shoe with the same name as the...
Well, I think it's fascinating.
Right. Well, didn't Al Capone go to prison in a pair of FBIs? Stupid joke. Okay, so...
I know the area very well.
Okay.
I obviously was not involved in the investigation, but I'm now going to put forward... So there are a number of theories that have been put forward by lots and lots of different people. There, of course, is the theory that she had her foot removed. Okay?
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
To
make people think she'd passed away. Okay. However, and this is interesting. Who recalls the very famous story of the man who got his arm caught in America, in Colorado? Remember that, Paul?
No, I don't.
Are you joking?
No, I don't.
He cut his arm off.
Oh, I'm sorry. The 127 hours guy.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, where he was pinned by a boulder.
Yep.
And after a while got desperate and used a basically pocket knife to saw his arm off. And he survived. He's done the talking circuit. There's a film based on him. Yeah,
okay. I think he's even sponsored by Mars Bars. So it's very, very, it's an interesting theory. It's a theory that people, sort of a slightly romantic theory that one would remove one's own foot. And as I said, she would then have to have a prosthetic foot fitted so she can sort of maintain. But I don't think that is the case. I also don't believe that she was taken by a shark. I have inspected in great detail all the cliffs around where she lives.
So
here's my theory. Her son, around about 5:30 a.m. that the last day, heard his mother leave the apartment, the house. And as we all know, she didn't take anything with her. Ostensibly, she was going for a run. I believe that, in fact, I'm going to put forward a theory that I actually, based on fairly detailed research that I've done, I have a feeling that I would even know the street, that it's a cul-de-sac, and at the end of that street, I feel that that would be a place very likely where she jumped.
Okay.
Would you like me to tell you the name of the street?
Sure.
Okay. The name of the street is, and I think this is so interesting, and you might hear some paper moving because I did take notes. It's called Douglas Parade, and it's in Dover Heights. Now, the entire eastern suburbs, on one side you've got the harbour, on the other side you've got the ocean.
Mm.
If you look at maps taken from satellites,
yep,
one of the things you notice is that for most of the cliff, okay, so you need a few things when you're going to, you know, jump off a cliff. You need height. However, what, and this is kind of, look, I've been to a lot of suicides. I have been to some terrible suicides. Mm. Not saying they're not all terrible, but I've been to ones. I went to one at Manly once where a young guy walked to the top of the cliff and jumped backwards, which is not an uncommon thing to do, but it's not super common.
Is it so they don't have to see the ground?
I don't know the reasoning, and he just stepped off backwards. I went to one, a colleague of mine who was in my class in the fire brigade. He jumped off North Head, and you met him. He came to a, you know,
did I?
At a party. I held a party at our place when we were at the school for my whole class. We did a barbecue, and he was a lovely guy, and look, it's tragic.
Yeah.
So people, and because, you know, if you live near cliffs, so there's the famous gap, and we know, I've been there recently and I've taken some photographs, weirdly not knowing about the story we were doing. It's, I will say this to everyone, it's literally impossible to take one's life at the gap. There is a surveillance system with cameras. There are lifeline booths at this place in Sydney, and it's an indictment to what a tragic location it is. They've actually got hotline where you can go to a phone, press a button, and speak with a person immediately. It's just so, because so many people have taken their lives. There's a very famous story about a man that lived opposite, and one day he was standing there and a man in a hat jumped off, and his hat blew, that, like, the guy fell to his death and the hat blew and he caught the hat. Okay, there are these odd amazing stories. Yeah. So after doing some really, really intense research and going up there and walking and driving around, I am of the opinion that there are a lot of places up there where if you jumped, you just land on the rocks. Okay. Now, we know that her body was not found. So I feel that she, and it's to me very obvious that she jumped into the water. And there are only a few places on that entire headland between Bondi and the gap that have the height, have that area where if you jump, you will go into the ocean.
Yes.
And, of course, it depends on the tides. My gut feeling, listeners and Paul, is that, and then I guess we have to also ask, because it was in the morning, so there still would have been light. The sun comes up from the east. She would have been looking out to the east, to the horizon. A couple of things, and this is a little bit morbid, but I think it's worth sort of touching on, and that is that did she just step off or did she run? And if it was already predetermined in her mind, and she definitely, well, firstly, she would have, in my opinion, because she did know the area quite well, she'd also interestingly made a comment several months before to a member of a friend, it was either a friend or family. I'm going to quote what she said. She said, "If I'm going to end it, it's going to be here." So I imagine that the police would have interviewed that person. They would have gone to that location. I think it has to be a place, depending on the tides, when she hit the water, she obviously would have speared down into the water. It's not super deep there. I have a feeling that perhaps that is where the foot was taken off.
Oh, God.
Maybe she could have got wedged.
Oh, God.
Between, rocks, underwater, drowning. if the impact didn't kill her. Another thing to consider, listeners, as morbid as this sounds, is that most people, when they jump, be it out of a burning building, skydiving accidents, they generally land feet first. And, you know, the ankles, I mean, I broke my ankle in, you know, really, really badly, plate and 12 screws, and that was just falling down some stairs. That's nothing.
You used to keep your police journals in the house, and I remember once I snuck a look and there was a case of a man whose parachute hadn't deployed and he'd landed almost flat, face first, and his feet had pretty much exploded out the back of his heels. And
correct.
All the bone just got
popped
out the back. It was terrifying.
Yeah.
Interestingly, so the foot is a kind of sticking point here.
It is.
Right? There was an article published in the ABC back on the 1st of March, on a Monday, at 6 p.m. Authorities are investigating remains that washed up at a south coast beach north of where missing Sydney businesswoman Melissa Caddick's foot was discovered. So more remains showed up.
Mm.
New South Wales police said a member of the public found the remains at Warrain Beach, Culburra, on Sunday morning. First of all, it must be terrible to be the person who finds the remains.
Yeah.
It is the third set to wash ashore in the region in as many days. I find it interesting that they all started washing up around the same time, which is really odd to me.
Interesting.
Especially given the amount of time she was missing for.
Mm.
It says here, it follows police confirmation last week that a, badly decomposed foot, that answers the condition of the foot question, matching Miss Caddick's DNA, was found at Bondi Beach near Tathra on February 21st. They were going to go ahead and do forensic examination to figure out if they were human or animal. Now, if they're trying to figure out whether the remains are human or animal, that would mean probably organs as opposed to limbs.
Yeah, well, DNA, of course.
Skin. If a bunch of entrails wash up on a beach around the same time as a missing foot.
Well, you're not obviously, with respect to forensic pathologists, etc. But, you know, I guess if there are contents within the intestines, you know, if it's unlikely that a pig would have gone to McDonald's. Well, that's not a good choice of words.
Not impossible, but I see what you mean.
Yeah.
So it says here, remains were also found on Friday night at Mollymook Beach, where police and SES personnel continued to scour the coastline on Saturday. There are some aerial photographs of the SES searching the shoreline. It's sounding more and more to me like the shark is possible.
Look. Shark would not be the cause of death.
No, in my opinion.
Impact, trauma.
Yeah.
You know that there was a very famous case, listeners, where a lady took her own life by jumping off the Sydney Harbour Bridge, and she didn't die. Because falling from that height, the surface tension of the water is like landing on concrete. It fucking kills you.
Yeah.
You don't do a swan dive off the Sydney Harbour Bridge. But her handbag fell a few feet in front of her.
And broke the surface tension.
Enabled her to basically go in and she survived.
How do cliff divers make those jumps? Do they put their hands out and
they break the water
like
with
a spear.
Spear.
Okay.
And it's just magical to watch. You know, those Acapulco divers. So look, it's very, very interesting. But you know, in Canada, in the last few years, as an aside to this story, they have retrieved from one of the bays in Canada. Can you guess how many shoes, Paul? Single shoes. They found floating.
I couldn't begin.
27 single shoes. They are from people that have taken their own lives. The shoes float. And it's very, very interesting.
Right.
When we talk about the floating shoes, there have been some contrarian scientific views from various members of the scientific community who have hypothesized due to the lack of barnacles that the shoe could not have floated that far. Now, here's another theory. She somehow or other made her way down the south coast and took her own life down there.
Right.
But then how did she get down there? If it was an Uber ride, it'd be a bloody expensive one. Not out of the question.
But it would also be on record.
On record.
Because she'd be registered in her name.
So. That's right. But, you know, she had an intimate knowledge of her environs up where she lived. And I have a feeling, and listeners and Paul, something else that is very, very interesting, and it's a piece of detail that's been buried very, very deeply in this case. 3 months prior to ASIC doing the raid on her house, she organized and booked shredding services for her documents.
Okay.
So, you know how we spoke about the Ponzi scheme?
Mm.
How you're basically just relying on new introduced capital to maintain this lavish lifestyle.
Mm.
And it's, she's basically just stealing and spending everyone's money. At some point in the future, it is going to be a day of reckoning. And I believe that on that morning, she may not have slept that night. It would have been a traumatic evening. Looking back on your life, looking back at all the mistakes, the regrets, look, there are just so many things that must have gone through her mind. And I believe that she, on the balance of probabilities, took her own life by jumping off a cliff very, very close by. And I don't believe the cliff was north of her house. I believe it was south. And, of course, when you come down into Bondi, the cliffs become very, they become a lot sort of, you know, less in height.
Yeah.
You're going to want to, if you're going to jump off a cliff.
As high as possible.
Yeah, and you just don't want to land on the rocks and you do not want to be alive.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that she didn't think this through.
Mm.
I mean, first of all, just quickly, we are talking about dying by suicide, and that is a very triggering thing, understandably. So I think it's prudent of us to point out that if you or anyone you know needs help in this regard, you can call Lifeline on 131114 or an organization that we have championed before in the past, Beyond Blue, and you can reach them on 1-300-224-636. This case is really, really strange. I guess it's sort of romantic, not romantic, but it is a, it's kind of fanciful, and it's much more fun to imagine that she paid a collaborator to surgically remove her foot, lob it in the ocean with some entrails, throw people off the scent, and then, you know, 3 years from now, someone who looks like her shows up in the Canary Islands, right?
Mm.
With a limp. That's the inverted commas fun version of this story, but you're saying realistically it's much more likely that she took her own life.
Mm. And I would hope and imagine that the investigating police in this particular case would have gone to all the houses on the cliff, and it's a big job, and I can tell you now that a lot of people in that area have got security cameras.
Right.
A lot of people. And I would have looked for the footage of Melissa. You don't just walk out of your house and vanish.
Not these days, anyway.
No. And also, without sort of labouring the point of the cliff, if Melissa had have gone north, what she would have come across is some really, really good cliffs. However, they're based around big sort of expanses like ovals.
Yep.
At that time of the morning, so many people are out walking dogs, exercising. I believe she went somewhere discreet and quiet, hence my theory of this particular cul-de-sac. It meets all the criteria. It's got the height. If you look at the satellite maps, you also notice that a lot of the shoreline,
mm-hmm.
The ocean, the water does not come right to the base of the cliff. There are only a few places. The cul-de-sac that I've mentioned fits all the criteria.
Yeah.
And it's close. And I don't think she'd want to be wandering the streets for too long because, and then of course you've got all the weird things about the husband not contacting the police for quite a while, and that's very, very...
We're going to dive into that next week. We're going to dive into the husband and a couple of really odd things about, for example, the house is up for sale right now, and there's some weird stories regarding that. Every day seems to bring fresh stories from this case. It's a really, really odd story. There's a lot of, you know, developing news. So we'll be back next week to actually delve into, the people around her, specifically her husband and some of the odd things that have happened during the court case. And just to sort of try and close this off, because whilst we're not doing an exhaustive look, this story is just bizarre. And we hope you've enjoyed Dad's insights into the possibilities here. But also, just quickly, very, very sorry about the jokey jokes up the front, but Dad and I are just so happy to be recording in the same room together that we figured just, you know, start things off light and then just drive it into a mountain. So,
And also, Paul, we've sold out, the first show sold out.
Yep, and the second show is selling out very fast. So
actually, we're not bullshitting everyone. It's there are only a few tickets to go.
It's happening very fast.
So, look, don't miss this opportunity to see Paul and myself in the flesh.
Yep.
On stage. I take it there's a stage.
Yeah, we can arrange that.
Love it. And I'm pumped. I'm excited.
It's going
to
be great.
I didn't mean to use that term pump, because pump refers to shoes. Pumps. Is that right?
It all comes back to the same thing in the end, doesn't it? Pigs with shoes. Well, I guess that's all the time we have for this week's episode of Loose Units, The Shadow Files. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back later this week with a Loose Ends, which we will again be recording in person, because I'm down in Sydney right now.
Up in Sydney.
Up and down in Sydney. And have a great week, everyone, and we will see you soon.
Cheerio.
For more Loose Units. Bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.